You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Farrell Cooper. Wildcat running right side this time. Blocked from Alanod. Here goes Cooper at the 40, the 50. Cooper spreading it out at the 30. Cooper opening up at the 15. Stiff arm at the 5. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Farrell Cooper. 71 yards. He matches his longest burst for a touchdown. That one was against Coastal Carolina a year ago. And he may have just sealed it for the Gamecocks.
Here is the gong. Back with the bass. Pajamas live in effect, and I don't waste time. On the mic with a dope rhyme. Jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump. And I'm here to combine beats and lyrics to make you shake your pants. Take a chance. Come on and dance, guys. Grab a girl, don't wait, make a twirl. It's your world, and I'm just a squirrel. Trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor. So, yo, what's up?
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 71. TRC stands for the Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RUBRChickens. My name is Buck, and I'm your host. I am joined by colleagues T-Bone and the G-Man, who are just back from Gamecock football practice, where they each returned a kickoff for a touchdown just to prove that it can be done. But you have to put an asterisk by it, because even though they returned a kickoff for a touchdown for the Gamecocks, they also returned a kickoff for a touchdown against the Gamecocks, so that kind of cancels itself out.
Hey, man,
wouldn't you say?
You just need to be impressed that G-Man can run 100 yards in one clip.
Hey, man, I put an awesome move on Landon Art. I mean, he was flailing in air when I went by. It was
right, just, right.
The thing that was amazing is you looked at Sky Moore and he fell down.
Right. Demir Bird shook your hand as you ran by him.
Exactly. I mean, I blew by Demir. I mean, he's fast and all.
The question I have is, who else has been named like assistant special teams coach this week?
Well, I've got an unopened email from Coach Spurrier, so that he could be asking me.
I think Cocky got a call. Cocky, they wanted him to, you know, see right. if he could lend a hand.
They're like, since you do such a great job with the cock in the box routine, let's try.
It's not cock in the. It's Cocky in the box. Cocky, the mascot.
Oh man, he's at it again.
So he wrote that. He wrote that in his Vanderbilt preview too, instead of cocky in a box.
It's perfectly acceptable English. It's nothing wrong with it.
I'm sure it is. So if you don't know what we're referring to, then you're in the wrong place. But
let's move on.
We're here to review our 48-34 win over Vanderbilt. I have to say it's not exactly what we were looking for after a huge confidence building win over 6th-ranked Georgia the previous week. You might expect a little bit of a letdown after that Georgia win, but this is the worst Vanderbilt team we've seen in several years. They hadn't scored an offensive touchdown until the second quarter of their third game this year.
The last team in Division One to score an offensive touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. We gave up 2 kickoff returns for touchdown. We fumbled 3 times on offense. Fortunately, we only lost 1. We missed 3 deep balls early in the game, 2 overthrows and 1 drop. Our defensive backs looked lost at times against a true freshman quarterback who had completed 1 pass for 3 yards coming into the game, Wade Freeback. And I wonder how that game would have played out if Patton Robinette, the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt, hadn't bumped his head on the turf. I hate to think about what he would have done to our defense, you know. So, T-Bone, how about some general thoughts on the game from Saturday night?
You know, I was starting to feel a little bit better through the course of the day on Sunday, and then today I've started to rationalize it and say, you know, big win at home last week. We go on the road. It's hard to get excited in that little bitty stadium half full. And then you start going through these stats just now.
Yeah.
And it's it still hurts, man. Really brings me down. I don't know what the plan is from this point forward. I mean, we got a lot of games left to play and a lot of things to play for.
Right.
But it's really hard to be optimistic right now.
Oh, can I jump in here a little bit? Because I'm usually the most pessimistic, but I got a couple things to say. Now, clearly disappointed in how we played. Okay? We looked awful at times. But there's a couple things we need to keep in perspective here. There were some games of the last 2 to 3 seasons where we looked almost as bad as we looked Saturday. We won a lot of ugly football games. So would you guys agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of ugly football games. I mean, maybe not as ugly as Saturday. I mean,
this Saturday is where you're making us feel better?
No. Well, yeah, in a way, because you know, we look back on those years, 11-2. We don't really think about some of the ugly wins we had. We just think about that we won these games. So I mean, I think we should obviously break this game down and tear it up a little bit and see, you know, see what the bad things were. But this game's over. It's over. You know, we won an SEC game on the road against a terrible football team, but we won. They're not going to make us play it again. It can't lose next week, play bad this week. So, you know, I think we need to look at it and see how it might hurt us. You know, some of the things that we did that might, you know, bleed over into other games and all that.
And we lost.
It's over. You know? Okay.
Yeah, I think we lost you there a little bit. But,
okay, well, I'm here.
But, you know, to summarize, G-Man, the perpetual cockeyed optimist of the group.
You have me back, by the way? Am I back?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but we'll fight through it. My counter to that is this, and I wrote this in the my snap judgments that I posted on Sunday after the game. We had a bad game against Vanderbilt last year. We had a bad game against Kentucky. You could say we had a bad game against Missouri or a bad game against Central Florida, but it wasn't four quarters of bad in any of those games. You know, against Kentucky and Vanderbilt, we built big leads and then just kind of relaxed and didn't play well for maybe a quarter or two. You know, against Central Florida and Missouri, we let really, really good teams jump on us really fast, you know, where we didn't play very well at the beginning, but we came on at the end. We had the ability to kick it into another gear. When I look up and down this roster, it doesn't give me a lot of – there aren't players on this roster that give me a tremendous amount of confidence. Like in previous years, the Gilmores, the Ingrams, the Clownies, the Lattimores, Shaw. I don't see names on the offensive or defensive side of the ball that make me say, well, you know what, I'm not worried because, you know, number 21's on my side. Or well, number 14's on my side.
They're emerging though. I mean, let's talk about a guy who you really wouldn't have put that label on until Saturday, that being Pharaoh Cooper. You know,
yeah.
He's starting to be a guy you might think of in the Bruce Ellington vein. You know,
right?
And you never would have really. I hear you, and I think those are very fair, accurate points. But people graduate. Somebody else has got to step up. We don't know who they are yet, but they're starting to, you know. We're gonna have to get over the fact that Melvin Ingram doesn't play here anymore, and Lattimore doesn't play here anymore. You know, I mean, at one point in the game, as bad as it was, we did score like 24 unanswered points after we looked like crap to start the football game. You know, the offense was pretty much unstoppable, except for, you know, Mike Davis not taking a handoff. So I mean, yeah, there were some positives in the ball game, but. I mean, granted, it was bad, real bad, and the defense
stinks. What you're not talking
stinks.
About, right, you just mentioned it, the defense stinks.
Yeah, it
I mean,
does.
Where are these playmakers on the defense? I agree with you about
that. They're in high school. They're in high school.
And Shaq Rowland, when he's on, Shaq Rowland alternates games. He has a great game, and you think he's about to break out, and then he just goes in the closet for a game. And, you know, he caught a touchdown pass the other night, but you'd have to say that he wasn't – that big of a factor otherwise.
Well, they got to throw him the football, though. I don't think he was targeted that many times. They threw the ball to Cooper.
He dropped one that hit him in the hands.
That was a touchdown. That's what happens. You drop one for Spurrier like that, you're not going to see another ball for at least a quarter
but
or so.
But the problem here, the point I would make is, who are the names you can name on our defense? Who's the guy you're going to hang your hat on the defensive side of the
ball?
Well,
Bryson Williams, he's the leader. He picked off that. Let's talk about that. He picked off that pass. Huge. I mean, that's the kind of play that Swearinger would have made. That's the kind of play that Antonio Allen would have made.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of play that Gilmore would have made. You know, we never thought about Williams as that kind of player, but that was a big-time play, guys.
That was a huge play, but I will tell you that
play in the game.
Number 12 is a lonely man on that side of the football right now. He is very lonely.
I agree with you, but I'm just trying to, like, you know, answer your question a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying they're in the same vein as Ingram, but we do have some guys who are playmakers, a few.
I think we can agree on this, that every year, you know, Ingram came out of kind of nowhere for us. You know, he was didn't he play fullback or linebacker for a while?
Yeah, he played
suddenly
everything.
He grew into this defensive tackle phenom. You know, and then you had Clowney. You had these guys that rolled in, and kind of every year it's like, okay, this is the guy. You could make the case that what's really happened is the guy hasn't really emerged yet, and he might still. So, you know, it might still happen. That may be all that's really wrong, is we need one player to suddenly take charge on that side of the ball.
Well, they're looking for a pass rusher, and I sure hope somebody emerges. But if they don't, it's going to be a long season. The pass rushers are all, by the way, in junior college or in high school right now, in the class of 15, okay? That's where they are. I mean, this is no huge surprise, guys. I mean, we knew that we said this last week. The defense is going to be – we knew the defense was going to be behind the offense. We just didn't know how bad they were going to be. But the offense had to carry the team. We knew this. I mean, is anybody really that surprised?
Yeah. What we're surprised about is the degree to which every offensive series has to get points. Has to.
Yeah. I think the optimist in me, you know, felt like Darius English was going to, you know, have a couple of sacks by now. Or Al Harris Jr. or Chris Lamons or somebody. We were going to say, wow, I'm glad we got that kid on campus. But I am being the pessimist right now. I didn't like what I saw the other night. The offense is fine. Until Mike Davis starts being Mike Davis again, Dylan Thompson is your superstar on offense. And I know there are a lot of people that are uncomfortable with that for whatever reason, but he's second in the SEC in passing yards. I wrote that he's on track to become only the third Gamecock to ever throw for 3,000 yards in a season. And there's a good chance, you know, if he keeps up this pace, he'll pass Todd Ellis. He'll have the best season of any Gamecock ever.
And that's a good point. Todd Ellis had – how many yards did he throw for in his best year?
3,200, I believe it is.
That year was 1988. What was our defense in 1988?
That was a Jolie Dunn group.
Shane Burnham.
No. Shane Burnham was later. Way after that.
That's right. Brad Scott. I just keep thinking Shane Burnham when I think about bad defense.
When you think about bad defense, it comes to the No. My point there being, we were in a lot of shootouts. We were throwing the ball a lot. I think that may be the template from this point forward.
Well,
I think
absolutely.
I think he's going to break Todd's record, and I think the reason he's going to break Todd's record is not because it's a great year. I think it's an 8-4 year where we don't stop anybody, but we do occasionally win a game 45-42.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, you win games different ways. I mean, it's not the way we've been winning the last 3 years with running game and really, really strong defense. This year is a little different. I would wager that the offense has the potential to be one of the better offenses we've ever had.
I think so.
I think that's true.
I mean, when you think about the offensive line, that we've got a first-class tailback, a very good backup running back. We've got quality receivers. We've got a quarterback who can sling it. I mean, guys, he can sling it. Now, he can't run like Connor, but he can sling it. And we've got a very, very good offensive line. So, you know, it's just the type of team we have. I think we need to accept the team we have. Yeah. This is our team. You know, and we got to just figure out that, you know, we're going to have some weird, you know, different situations.
So yeah. here's the question. If you have a team built like we are on offense, what's the defense that complements that?
Well, I think we got to hold teams under 30 points.
Right. Well, I'm going to suggest is you could make the argument that we need to zero blitz every down.
The old Jolie Dunn, like we talked about.
Come at them hard.
Let me make a point though. Make one point. I mean, I know we're in rip the Gamecocks mode, and deservedly so in many ways. but let me
ranked number 14 in the country.
Well, let me make one comparison to you guys, just to maybe put a little reality in this. How many points did we give up to East Carolina? How many?
23, was it?
How many did they score on Saturday against the other Carolina?
They scored 70.
Because you know 70. That's the standard and by which we want to compare.
I'm not saying that it is, but I mean, we gave up a lot less points than they did. That offense is pretty darn good. Okay.
Yeah. Hey.
You know where your logic breaks down, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, how many points did Vanderbilt's offense score against us?
20 points.
20 points.
How many did they score their other games?
one of them they scored
in the 30s.
I'm just saying they scored, their offense produced 20 points. Now, that's too many, but it looks worse than it is when you factor in our...
Dang it, right when we got him excited, he fades out. He
falls off again.
Dang it.
Am I back?
Yeah, okay, you're back now. And now you're gone. I guess you got a bad plug-in or something like that going on here.
It's all his back hair. It's interfering with
the static electricity has shorted out his microphone.
Oh, God, it's horrible. The point being, we suck, but we love ourselves.
Yeah, the question is this Gamecock team going to be the team of Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, or is it going to be the team of East Carolina and Georgia? Because those are extremes, you know. So I don't know. It was not encouraging Saturday night, and I am by no means giving up on the season or giving up on these guys. I'm just saying the evidence, you know, what we've seen in the first four games of the year does not make me tremendously confident that we can win the SEC East. Well, I think that's
exactly
fair.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think G-Man's back because I can hear him breathing and I can hear his door squeak.
Well, I moved. I was thinking maybe this would be better. Maybe I was in a bad spot.
I've been in your house, and you don't know what WD-40 is, but if you'll spray it on those hinges,
it won't squeak anymore. All right, so.
Adds character, man.
All right, so I tell you who was not happy about this game was Steve Spurrier.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys watch the presser after the game?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it.
And the one guy I wouldn't want to be this week is Joe Robinson.
Joe Rob.
I told Joe Rob I'm not going to watch that anymore. I'm taking over. So
once that's one of those whole resume fresher upper. Once he pulls the Ron Cooper and grabs you out of the shower and throws you right directly under the bus, it's time to start looking for work.
You know what's so frustrating about the special team situation too?
The fact that they give up touchdowns left and right. There's been eight touchdowns returned from a kick in all of Division I football this year, and we've given up a quarter of them. So
And you know, we gave up one
in the bowl game.
So we've given up three in the last five bowl games.
Yeah.
But what's frustrating about the special teams is that we always seem to have at least one facet of the special teams just atrocious.
Right.
You know, I mean, last year our punting was atrocious and our kickoffs were bad. But last year we had more than one. This year, though, the punting is better. Place kicking is, top notch. But the kickoffs, kicking off and returning kicks is bad.
Yeah. Special teams as a whole, honestly, has not been bad. But those two kickoffs, we looked like we had a bunch of disinterested guys running down there to to make a tackle. And
you if you're going to look at it in terms of risk reward, the various ways that we do kick off, you know, we've had two run back, but throw those out. The others go to the 30 or the 32.
Right.
Why don't you kick it out of bounds?
Well, I was going to say one of the biggest problems on the first kick was the kick itself.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a line drive to the 10. You're setting yourself up for that. I mean, he had been kicking off pretty well too. I don't know if there was wind in the stadium. I mean, I don't know what the factor there was, but he got no kicks in the end zone. Of course, second half we finally wised up and started rolling it. I tell you what, that looked like what we should do the rest of the year.
Just hit these wicked bouncing, long, they're like long onside kicks is basically what they are.
Right. One time they got it on the 6, one time they got it on the 15, and the other time we got the ball. I mean, hey, I think that's kind of like the Lou rugby punt, you know? I like it.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We have not been very positive. We did get a win on the road in the SEC by 14 points. So for you folks listening to us, you know, wondering what we're complaining about, then we agree with you. We got to win. Let's get out of here and go do something else. I'd say David Williams got, what, 2-3 carries the other night?
Hey, and he looked good.
He looked sharp, didn't he? Especially on the long run where he just went full speed into the guy inside the 5-yard line. I thought he was going to hurt himself. It kind of scared me. He was running so fast. So.
Who was the running back that finally got in the game? Speedster. He finally gets in the game against LSU. He runs off tackle and gets blown up and never plays again.
Eric Baker.
Eric Baker.
That's right. What I was thinking when I saw that run. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we were so excited to see Eric Baker, and he basically got destroyed on one play. Why don't we give out some rubber chicken awards? How about that?
Sounds like a good idea.
Interested in doing that?
Yeah, let's do it.
T-Bone, who's our sponsor?
Our sponsor for the Rubber Chickens Award is our good friends at Blitz Jewelry. Think about you might be in a situation at this point in the season where you've maybe skipped a wedding, maybe missed a family reunion, not going over to your in-laws for supper, and your significant other is starting to get a little antsy about your addiction to college football. Well, let me tell you, my good friends at Blitz Jewelry, who you can find at blitzjewelry.etsy.com, they may have the solution for you.
I think it's Blitz Game Day Jewelry.
It's Blitz Game Day Jewelry.
@.etsy.com.
We'll make sure to link this on the website because it's important that you get these people involved in your problem.
Use the Googles if you can't find it.
You can use the Google box if you need to. They can custom design jewelry just for your team and your significant other that'll do a couple of things. It'll say, I'm sorry because I'm a jerk. And it'll also say, I want to invite you in to the thing I'm passionate about. So check out the folks at Blitz Jewelry. I think it might be a solution to your problem.
So keep going. Who are you giving it to this week?
I am giving my rubber chicken award to a guy who was mentioned during the broadcast of the game. More than Jameis Winston was mentioned during Florida State's game.
I think it's Jameis, but go ahead. That's good.
Jameis rhymes with famous. I don't know. Anyway, Alain Archibald Fitzhugh St. John Cornelius Knott.
Who?
Alan Knott.
Alan.
You got to give the first name somewhere.
I said Alain.
I know. I didn't. Okay. I know what. When you said Knott, I was thinking zero.
Did anyone else notice this? They talked about him all game long.
Yeah, they did talk about him a good bit.
Yeah, apparently Vandy had
game. That's because he was facing their.
Yeah, and the thing is at the beginning of the game, the defensive tackle was you know man up on him and was beating him a little bit. But by the end of the game, Alan Knott was holding his own. He gets my rubber chicken award.
All right, G-Man, how about you?
I'm gonna save the obvious player of the game for you if you want to pick him, but. Can I split mine?
There are no rules.
Apparently you can do anything you want. So.
Okay, well I'm gonna get an offense and a defense.
Okay,
I'm gonna give an offense to Dylan Thompson. I know he started out kind of rough, But he made a couple of great throws in that ball game. The post pattern to Shaq Rowland, great throw, needed it big time. The throw to Demir, great throw. In the rollout, all three touchdowns, a rollout throw to Jones, great throw. I just thought he was steady when we needed him to be steady.
Right.
And really was the difference. On defense, I'm going to give it up for Bryson Williams. Just a huge play in the ball game. Had to have it. I thought he stepped out of bounds just because everything else seemed to be going wrong. You know, everything that happened seemed to be – I was like, oh, please.
Yeah, right when it happened, I thought he did too.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, Bryson Williams, huge play, big momentum boost. And so I'm going to split mine with Dylan and Bryson.
Well, I'm going to go with Pharaoh Cooper. I think this is actually the second time I've given it to Pharaoh Cooper because I
admit I love him.
I do love King Touchdown. I do love me some Pharaoh, and because I remember talking about him the last time I gave him a Rubber Chicken Award, talking about how he's an angry, attitudinal football player, which I love.
Dude, I like it.
Which I love. He is not, you know, giving a quarter to anyone. You know, he's just a tough guy. So 114 yards receiving, 74 yards rushing, I guess, and the game clinching play that got us down inside the one on the out of the Wildcat. Again, for the 100th time, he's Randall Cobb. He's our Randall Cobb. So
you know what I liked about that play, though, since we're talking about that play a little bit?
Yeah.
You know how they kept saying all night long, left side, left side, left side, left side?
Yeah.
Well, that one play went to the right side.
Yep.
And I think we pulled the center or a guard or something who came over. The other rubber chicken. He came out and made the key block on kind of a kick-out block there.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that was pretty cool they went to the right because perhaps – you know, our tendency is to go left, and maybe they are shading that way. But that play just opened up. I mean, the Red Sea parted. I mean, there's nobody over there.
Right. Well, you know, there are a few other things we want to talk about, but I think, you know, I glanced at some of the Twitter questions. I'm going to kind of let the Twitter questions guide us for the rest.
There's some good questions this time.
Yeah, I think so.
We do have to talk about, though, Clemson, Florida State. We've got to give a little bit. If that's not
well, the Twitter questions, will guide us.
Okay, good.
Trust the process. You got to trust the process, big man.
All right.
The first question we got tonight was from the luminous and yet approachable Patty Daniels.
Hi, Patty.
She's at Patty Dan.
Yeah.
She says, how many games behind Bear Bryant is the HBC? Any chance he'll coach long enough to catch up?
He is 90 games, 9-0.
Ouch.
Behind Bear Bryant. Bryant has 292 SEC wins. Spurrier has 202. That means he would have to average, Spurrier would have to average 6 wins a year for the next 15 years, which would make him 85 years old.
So answer that question as Spurrier would answer it.
Oh, hell no. I don't think I've ever heard Spurrier say hell no. But
I never have.
No, I'm not coaching that long. No, I'm not there.
Yeah, he usually says something about if I'd wanted that kind of record, I'd have stayed at Florida.
Yeah. So no, I don't think he. That is a good question. I don't think he's gonna. Don't think he's gonna make it.
Jeff Kahrs, who is at Jeff K A H R S, worst wins in school/Spurrier history.
So this is one that I did take a peek at before the show, and I'll tell you what pops into my mind. And I know why Jeff is asking this question is because this was a pretty bad win on Saturday, you know, to be a 14-point victory. I would say any game against Wofford.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of more that stick out in my mind. The game at Chapel Hill a few years ago. If you remember that,
we jumped out to a big lead. We thought we were
so tough, and we barely pulled that one out. And I think the following week we lost. When it was the game we lost to Vanderbilt when we were ranked in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and look at that. But that was a win that we came away. We just did not feel good about what was going on. And the last one I think is 2006 Kentucky. And T-Bone, you referenced it earlier when you know, Kentucky hit a just ridiculous long ball late to make the game close, and it came down to an onside kick. And Spurrier in the presser got Ron Cooper out of the shower to come explain what defense we were in, what the defensive backs were doing.
We let Randall long Cobb play. Get behind us.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the ones that come to mind for me.
Anything on that, G-Man?
No, that's pretty good. I think the Wofford.
I remember the Wofford. So,
remember
game.
That one game? Well, who was that? We had a linebacker who played
24, like, little bitty white guy, 24.
Was it him? Who somebody deflected a pitch?
99. He got kicked off the team. I can't.
Right,
think of his
that's
name.
What I was thinking. He had that one season that he played for us, but he deflected a pitch on the option, or else we'd have lost that game.
Right. Yeah, they were like inside the right. 10 or 15 yard line. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember his name, but it was like. Game-saving deflection.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Another question. This is a fun question from John Michael Gunnels, friend of the podcast, at Fun and Gunnels. And he asks, if each team replaced its kickoff coverage team with 11 live versions of their mascot, whose would be the best, funniest, worst?
So is this
ours would be the worst. Let's get that out of the way.
Is this just the SEC, or does he specify?
He just says each team.
So I guess that opens it up to all of college. So yeah, 11 roosters running down the field doesn't strike a lot of fear into anybody.
That's about what we look like.
Yeah. 11 roosters might be better at this point.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Joe Rob, go get me 11 chickens.
Give me 11 banny roosters.
We're gonna see if they can tackle better than our boys did Saturday night. Let me say that's Bulldogs. Yeah. Everybody thinks. Hang on, let me finish. Everybody thinks a bulldog is such a great mascot. Bulldogs are the most fragile animals.
Yeah.
Hasn't Georgia? They've had like. Five mascots die in the last 3 years or something like that.
And they've given up on getting an all-white one. They were big on that. Now they've just given up.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think of Longhorns, You got Running of the Bulls. That'd be tough.
Crimson Tide. Either the Wave or the Elephants.
Yeah. Any big cats, Tigers. Oh, tigers, lions.
I'll say tigers.
Well, I know, but...
what about Stanford?
The Cardinal?
No, well, not the Cardinal.
Or the trees?
The mascot is the tree.
Right. Or Oregon Ducks. That's right. That's right there with Gamecocks, yeah. So who's the Banana Slugs? Isn't that one of those California teams?
Santa Cruz,
the Banana Slugs.
For you Quentin Tarantino fans.
Right. And so I don't know. That's...
All right, next question.
G-Man doesn't have time for that kind of
G-Man
foolishness.
G-Man doesn't like this. One thing you got to understand about G-Man is he does not put up with a lot of frivolity. question from Sharon Hundley at SDH7779. What about the Clemson Alumni Association asking for fans to take their flags to our college game day?
T-Bone, you're the Clemson man.
It's typical. They cannot stand us to get a moment of attention. And it backfires. It's like, oh, okay, you're going to come to our game and wave your flag for a team that hasn't beaten us since Bush was president. It's ridiculous.
So where did this come from?
Their alumni association is asking for their fans to all show up at the game day headquarters waving Clemson flags.
How sad is that? I mean,
it's pretty sad.
That's sad.
If it was like Clemson Tom asking people to do that, it'd be one thing. But the alumni association is asking them to do it.
That is just petty and lower than low. It's a football game, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's pitiful, but they're pitiful. So
typical Clemson. Typical. It's all over.
Twan asks, who is Twan? Is at Anthony Goodrow. How likely is it that our young DBs improve over the course of the season to the degree that our young LBs did last season?
Wow. Number one, our safeties, Chaz Elder, Chris Moody, neither one's been very impressive this year.
I can't watch Chris Newton anymore. Ugh.
What's that?
I can't.
And now you're breaking up.
We're losing.
This has just been a great show. I'll tell you, the corners, and I'll tell you this, I noticed three people playing cornerback on Saturday night, and it was Rico McWilliams, Bryson Williams, and DJ Smith. I haven't seen the participation numbers yet, but I did not see Al Harris Jr.
Oh, he was out there.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, Chris LeMons is hurt.
LeMons had made the trip.
Yep. Wesley Green has volunteered to redshirt. So I don't think they're going to come on. You know, our linebackers just got better because they got reps in real live situations over the course of the season. I don't see that happening with these young DBs that we have.
Let me make a little piece of quick commentary on this question. The reason why our defensive backs really look as bad as they do, I mean, obviously they're inexperienced, but it's called no pass rush.
Yeah,
right,
okay?
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't care how good you are. You could have, I don't know, what's that, Troy Polamalu or whatever his name is, and you could have who's the best cornerback in the NFL? I don't know.
Richard Sherman.
You could have two Richard Shermans back there, and if you can't rush the quarterback and get any pressure, then you're going to get passed on. It's just going to happen. You can't just – I mean, the pass rush is the biggest problem with our defense right now, and we're not getting pressure except when we bring the house. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yep.
I mean, you guys disagree?
No, I agree.
Yep. Yep. You're right. Quickly, we got a couple of quick questions before we settle on our last one. Waddy Wharton at Waddy W. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Well, why is the woodchuck chucking wood? I mean, that would kind of, I mean, is it for...
What is his motivation?
Right. Is it shelter? Is he trying to catch food? Is it, you know... the best answer to any question on the planet is it depends.
Right. It really depends.
It depends. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Here's a good one. Ben Black, another friend of the show, at WandoCock. WTF was that on Saturday night?
I would say it was the football game equivalent to this podcast.
I'll tell you what it was. It was a South Carolina win and a Clemson loss.
Right.
It's what we like to call perfect Saturday.
Yeah, think about that. Now, we're all sitting there watching these games. I'm sure you guys are like me, flipping back and forth. And you're thinking any number of times during the night, you know, that we're going to lose, they're going to win. We're going to lose, they're going to win. We're going to lose, they're going to win.
Right.
I mean, it went on and on and on, you know. And then, lo and behold, it turns out great. We win, they lose. And not only did they lose.
Oh, the way they lost.
They completely laid an egg and gave the game to Florida State about five different ways. I mean, unbelievable.
So let's talk in more detail about that. But what do we have another question or two before we
got a couple more, but let's save them to the end.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, the Clemson game. There were a couple of moments where I thought it was over, and I had my two TV set up in the den. So I was listening to and watching the South Carolina game, and I had the Clemson Florida State on mute, and I saw Clemson get, you know, almost in the end zone, get beside the pylon, you know, to get a first and goal when it was tied at 10, and then I saw them run a play, and then I didn't look back at the TV until, like, you know, a couple of minutes later, and they were like on the 30. And I was like, what just happened? So I had to go to Twitter to get them to tell me what happened. And then they missed a field goal. They scored to take the lead on a 2nd and 24. Second down, 24 yards to go with a quarterback who has looked terrible all night long. Your defensive back falls down.
Yep.
And they hit a 74-yard touchdown to tie the game.
Incredible.
Florida State gives you the ball back. You know, all you have to do to at least get a field goal attempt, even though their field goal kicker had a rough night, you're at least going to get an attempt. But Adam Choice drops the football.
No, it wasn't Choice.
It was CJ, whatever.
Oh, was it CJ Davis?
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Adam Choice, if you're listening.
But he's the one who got. He's the one who got. You're just moving up to Adam Choice because he shows up in overtime.
He got stopped on fourth down. A lot of people were saying that was a stupid decision.
That was a good decision, bad call.
Good decision, bad play. I mean, you know, we run from the shotgun 98% of the time, but if there's a fourth and inches, we're going to sneak it. We don't have a problem getting under center. I don't know if they just don't.
Didn't trust him. They said that he Chad didn't Moore do it in high school and hadn't done it his whole, you know, they just didn't believe he could do it. They said he'd had trouble doing it in practice.
You know what? Then practice it every day. You know, 10 mm-hmm. snaps under center. It's not hard. It's I not. It is I not. So
all that's nonsense. They didn't trust their field goal kicker.
We agreed.
That's two different things. That's why they went for it, but that's right. Not why they made the play call that they made. I mean,
if you trust your field goal kicker, you play defense in that situation. You get to the second overtime, but they just didn't trust the guy.
Yeah. Well. So T-Bone, what's the mood like in the Upstate?
It is bitter up here. Bitter, bitter, bitter. A lot of banter flying around. Hadn't seen that in a couple years. Everybody kind of going underground. But the thing that's going on is they're talking about this freshman savior quarterback named Taj Boyd. That was a few years ago. Named Taj Boyd. Now he's called Deshaun Watson. And he looks like a legit player, but I heard a guy today say that he was going to take them to the promised land.
Oh, yeah. Deshaun.
Like CJ and Nuke and Sammy and Taj. Exactly.
Yeah.
Same old thing.
I got to say, he looked good. He looked really good. But he's playing for Clemson. So that's
they'll figure something. Out a way to screw it up.
He's never going to be able to overcome playing for Clemson.
A couple more quick questions.
Yep.
Can we get a new special teams coach? This is from at USC38, which great Twitter handle at USC38. Can we get a new special teams coach? And which one of you two guys are the guys on the Twitter page?
Oh, I like our profile pic.
I guess.
Yeah, that's Demetra and what's the guy's name? Burkhart, something like that. Yeah. So, I'd say G-Man probably looks like a cross between the two of them.
And he acts kind of like that too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That. He's like a hairier version of Demetra, without the charisma
and friendliness.
Right.
All right. Any other questions?
And here comes the last one. I'm putting you on the spot here from Heather Henson, who is a longtime follower of our Twitter feed at @HHHinson. What would your college game day sign say? # keep it real.
Oh, man. I wish I had time to think about that one. I'd probably ask my beautiful wife to marry me again. How about that?
How's that for an answer? Awesome. I would come up with either just, you know, the Dabo scream face?
Yeah.
Just a big Dabo scream face would be funny.
That would be funny. Yeah.
Or you could do something about, you know, Winston. At least Winston didn't use Joe Craig's towel bar or something.
Yeah. So if it was this week against Missouri, you know, maybe something about the left upright or Andrew Baggett or, you know, clang, the noise that it made. Slang. Something. So, sorry, Heather, maybe we'll come up with something and put it on the website. Our own.
We're not even going to ask G-Man because he won't play that.
I won't talk about football.
I'll play. I've got nothing right now. You guys, we'll work on that.
All right. So somehow we did get game day on Saturday.
Yeah, figure that one out.
I think they may have like predetermined that and then had made so many preparations because they didn't expect. Didn't expect us to lose to Vanderbilt. Didn't expect Missouri to lose to Indiana. The trucks were probably already on the road to Columbia, so they couldn't change their mind or something. So, but there aren't many great games on Saturday.
You do realize we actually won Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you just said we'd lost to Vanderbilt. Anyway.
Well, no, I said they didn't think we would lose to Vanderbilt, which we didn't.
I see. And they okay, didn't. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, Missouri. I mean, who would have expected that? I mean, Indiana.
I just kind of thought Missouri was, you know, almost the exact team they were last year. I mean, I know the players they lost, but just from the little bit I've watched them, I thought they looked darn good.
But, I think they're a lot like us on defense. I think they lost a lot of key guys on the defensive line.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be a lot of points on throwing the board on Saturday. That's a hunch.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get things back on track and have a much more upbeat podcast next week. Not that we're not, you know, like I said to a commenter on the blog today, I'll be there Saturday with bells on, pulling for the Gamecocks all the way, despite the negativity I've been spewing the last couple of days. I'm going to be in their corner all the way.
Just look at it this way. You could be Clemson this week.
Yep.
They lost. You could be Missouri.
Yeah.
They lost.
So, you could be Michigan.
You could be LSU. You could be
LSU,
Michigan.
LSU, yeah. So,
exactly.
You yeah. could be Cal.
Oh, wow. 36 points in the fourth quarter, and we lost on a Hail Mary.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, things could certainly be worse. So it's, as they say, it's good to be a Gamecock. Hashtag here SC.
Go team.
So let's close it out by saying it has now been 2,124 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football.
Deshaun Watson.
For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck, and we'll talk to you next week.